Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weekly Conservative Talk Radio. My name is Tracy.
And I'm just plain Bill.
And we're here to talk about, I was going to say talk about Barack Obama, but, you know, I really don't care about, per se, Barack Obama.
Right.
You know,
yep.
I kind of care about what he does and says.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
you
yep.
Know?
Hey, did you catch that news article today about, and I think it got tweeted out of the White House or some Dem that said, oh gosh, income tax refunds were up to $3,300 this year. Isn't that just wonderful? And I said to myself, self, somebody's had an average of $3,300 over withheld out of their paychecks.
that's a lot of free money the government's been getting.
Oh, man. Oh, God. I mean, it's bad enough that the bottom 47% don't pay any taxes at all. It's even worse when, you know, that 53% that are paying taxes, you let them take too much out to begin with. I mean, wise up, folks. Adjust your withholding.
Really? As a matter of fact, I suggested this back in February, that people change the withholding to like 8 or 9.
Yeah, something.
You know, especially if you get a big refund back, because the quickest way to tell, you know, the government, you know, we're not happy with how many taxes you're doing is to,
yep,
you know, give them less to work with during the year.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's,
I mean, you know, I'm getting almost $400 back, but I don't have a lot of choice in that because of the way that it gets withheld. I don't have any way to not have them withhold it because
it's
out of the state of California.
Percent.
Pardon?
Yeah, it's a fixed percentage that they hold.
Yeah, yeah, yep, exactly. You know, but for you folks that are still working, adjust your withholding. You know, if you're getting money back and you're treating it like a savings account, put that money aside for yourself. You know, don't give it to the government and let them use it. Good gracious.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the specific. Well, that's. I had not heard that, but there was a few things that I heard.
Aha. Uh-huh.
The one that really interests me a whole lot. There's one that really pissed me off. We'll get there.
Yeah.
But the other one that really interested me a whole lot was this report. And I don't know where it came from. I don't know. It wasn't CBO.
Hmm.
But it was. It was. Anyways, it was a request by congressmen of one of the agencies to address the impact of the health care reform on their health care. And
Ooh.
The agency came back and said, well, you're not allowed to have federal health care anymore. You have to go to the exchanges like everybody else.
Tee-hee.
And, of course, they're all beside themselves going, what, what? Apparently, Congress forgot to exempt themselves from health care reform. And this is what's interesting about it, is they can no longer get their federal government health care.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And because there was no effective date, the normal construction of laws are, if there's no specific date, it's the date the law is signed.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So that means that anybody that has it now can keep it, but anybody new can't do it, starting immediately.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
And, of course, the exchanges don't start for, like, 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder how they're going to like being without health care for health insurance for 4 years. Yeah. And you're right. It wasn't the CBO. It was the Congressional Legislative Analysis. Saying, okay, here's what this thing really means.
Yep.
And that's what they came up with. You know, which is really kind of cool. I mean, you know, Nancy Pelosi told us that. She said, hey, you got to pass it to find out what's in it. Well, guess what? That's in it. Works for me.
somebody said, you know, the Republicans should send a nice little letter going, yeah, go ahead and try to fix that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Filibuster.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Build this one, Buster.
Yep.
They're right. There's going to be, I said this before, everybody else has said it. The next 20 years, every Congress is going to spend time fixing something else that was screwed up.
Yep. Yep. Laws of unintended consequences. I'm sorry, folks. There's just, I mean,
I've gotten to the point where I think, call me crazy. I think that this is intended consequences.
Oh, really?
I think they actually tried to screw things up so bad.
Hmm.
I don't think they actually tried to do this to themselves. But I it might have been one of those things where they're going to, once this health care is there, if we have it explicitly in there that Congress is exempt, we're going to catch all kinds of shit for it. So we'll put this in there so they'll see the bill and go, well, they're not exempting themselves, and then it'll come out in conference and we won't have to worry about it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yep. Yep, yep. Could be. At this point, I wouldn't put anything past them. They're just...
It was an intentional put in, assuming that they could take it out later without anybody noticing.
Mm-hmm.
And because the law got signed that way, like, oh, shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Careful what you wish for.
Yep.
So this is the thing that's the thing that's been kind of fun, kind of interesting to note, without any particular opinion one way or the other, other than it's kind of an example of how Congress does laws at this point.
Oh, yeah. 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 And the problem is they have real impacts on folks out here. I mean, an article in the where was it? It was on the Washington Times. Income falls 3.2% during Obama's term.
Yeah, guys, this is crazy. I read that about an hour after the news said that the government had reported increasing revenues this year over last year.
I wonder how that could happen.
And all I could think about was, okay, what they mean is that people are paying their taxes quicker this year, so the last 2 weeks of March, more people paid their taxes than the last 2 weeks of March last year.
Mm-hmm.
But it had to be just a really short period of time relating to a previously really short period of time that did it. Because, I read that the incomes are down 3.2, and, of course, every state is reporting, tax revenues down at this point.
Absolutely.
I just couldn't believe that the two things came out.
Well, yeah. I mean, and it doesn't make sense. And by the way, not every state has reported a decline. There are, I think, three or four states that show a that show an increase, but there were gains in West Virginia, Maine, and Maryland. Now, if you look at West Virginia and Maryland, that's all government employment. Now, I don't know how Maine sneaks in there, but West Virginia and Maryland, you can attribute that directly to the increase in government employment. So, you know, the other thing that happens, I think, is that there's smaller income, but receipts are up. And I think that's because tax increases have taken a hold. Regardless of what you hear about the average size of the refund and all that kind of stuff, tax increases were in there, and they've taken a hold. Because they do that.
I'm absolutely convinced that the last congressional session of this year,
mm-hmm.
they're going to create an environment in which the Bush-era tax cuts will expire.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I think they're gonna do that, and I think they're going to do it because they'll have no choice given how bad this year is going to be. And
mm-hmm.
I want everybody to pay attention to this. I want everybody to make phone calls, to write letters, to post on the Internet. Come September or October 14th or 15th, when they post the total federal government debt for September 30th,
yeah,
that number is going to be up more than $2 trillion. I'm absolutely positively convinced that it's going to be up more than $2 trillion for this year. I don't care what they're going to say what the deficit actually was. They're already
mm-hmm.
saying that the deficit is going to be less than they were predicting.
Mm-hmm.
The
mm-hmm.
debt is going to increase by more than $2 trillion.
Ouch. Boy, that's a kick in the pants. Ouch.
And, you know, $2 trillion, they will have no choice but to, even if they absolutely believe that letting the tax cuts will hurt the economy, they'll
mm-hmm.
have no choice but to do that to try and avoid another $2 trillion increase in the debt next year.
Hmm. Well, if they do that, all you folks there on the bottom rung that are down there in the 15% tax bracket, you can kiss that goodbye. That's going away.
And the thing that's going to drive it is I don't know how they're going to do it. I don't know how they're going to get it past the Republicans. But they have got to keep unemployment going out.
Mm-hmm.
This year.
Yeah.
They can't
let
it stop.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I truly don't know. Although, you know, we've got enough people on our side of the aisle that'll say, oh, God, no, we can't let that happen, and they'll vote for an extension and an increase and all that kind of stuff in unemployment benefits. And from their perspective, it makes sense because it's actually the states that pay that. So from their perspective, that becomes an asset on their books as opposed to a liability. Because, yeah, they'll loan the money that they don't have, but they're going to have a corresponding increase in accounts payable to them from the states.
Yeah, and right now that borrowing is going crazy.
Oh, man. It's horrible. And
I
don't know where they're going to get the money. I mean, I truly don't know where they're going to get. I mean, well, they can always print it. But beyond that, I don't know where they get it.
Yeah, well, look at what happened with Greece.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they issued more bonds, and they got snapped up in a heartbeat.
Yes, they did.
Surprisingly so, but of course, everyone said the same thing. These bonds have been explicitly guaranteed by the EU.
And the IMF. That
and,
means
you know,
that's
Germany,
us, too.
Yeah, Germany, well, Germany is talking out of both sides of its mouth at this point.
Well, of course.
Germany is saying there's no way in hell, you know, and Merkel is saying we can't let it happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, and from their point of view, they're right. I mean, because if Greece goes down, Italy follows it.
Well,
I
you
mean,
know what? Somebody made the point. The problem is not Italy and Greece, which are like, you know, 30th or 40th or 50th largest economies. I mean, they're pretty far down the list.
Well, but it's a cascade effect.
Spain is in a lot worse shape, and it's bigger.
Portugal is in there. Yep, absolutely.
So, you know, you and I have been waiting for the other shoe to hit.
Yeah, we have.
it
may be getting close to the ground here. I don't know.
More along the lines of a perfect storm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to have all these little things going on. At some point, it's all going to come together at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it will.
And the one person that we have that can do anything to try and fix things, you know, is completely naive and inexperienced and incapable of thinking outside of the box.
Yep.
The little box that, you know, Michelle has sitting on
the
mantle. You know, it is clear that the man has no sense of self-respect.
Nope. None at all. You know, it's just horrible.
That bow was only about a 30-degree bow. It wasn't a 45 or a 90-degree bow. So
exactly, yeah.
He's standing up a little bit.
He didn't get his ass completely up in the air.
But did you see his eyes? He didn't even maintain eye contact.
I know.
In martial arts, you bow, you know, to each other,
mm-hmm.
but you don't break eye contact.
That's right. That's right. And you can
be respectful and show sign of strength.
I liked the picture, and I saw it, frankly, on Drudge. But I liked the picture because the picture showed the shadows on that back wall, and for some reason that struck a chord with me. That
I didn't notice. What was the What was the shadows?
Well, the shadows were him bowing to the Chinese premier, but it was this duality of the real thing right there in front of you, and then you look beyond that onto the wall, and you see the shadow bowing to this other person. And if you noticed, the premier of China is standing there perfectly upright with his eyes front and center, with this bemused little smile on his face.
Oh, go ahead. Call it what it is. It was a smirk.
Yeah. Well, that too. You know,
it was
a smirk.
This little peon's bowing to me. What a butt.
Yep. You know, so now we've got him bowing to, four different people at this point. You know, and it's kind of like, God, when are you going to stand up for America? I mean, you know, when are you going to stand up and say, hey, we are as good or better than anybody else on this planet?
He doesn't believe that.
No, I know he doesn't believe it.
As a matter of fact, he believes that we're worse than everyone else.
Yeah, well, you and I have had the conversation before. But another story that kind of struck me, and it's kind of along the same lines, is I'm a Dinner Jacket was saying that they're going to be nuclear capable in a month, and we need to be really careful. And I thought to myself, you know what? Your dicks aren't big enough to get in a pissing match with us. And then I remembered who was president. I said, well, maybe they are.
I am of the belief. There's absolutely nothing that will convince me to the contrary, other than actual events. I am of the belief that we will know the day Iran is a nuclear power, the day Tel Aviv starts glowing.
Because
I don't think that they will wait 1 second.
Yeah.
I think the second they tell him, you know, we can detonate this bomb. We have it, we can detonate it, and it'll work. The second it happens, it'll be on a truck. I don't think they'll trust it to a missile.
Okay.
I think it'll be on a truck.
Well, you know, that could be. Another story that I found interesting, though, and it was just an oblique reference, was that it would not be appropriate to believe that Israel's response could only be nuclear. And I thought about that for a little bit, and I said, are you saying those guys have got chemical and biological warheads? I mean, what are you saying when you say their response doesn't necessarily have to be nuclear? I mean, they aren't going to invade anybody. I mean, they probably could, but they aren't going to.
You know, that's a rather interesting question.
Yeah.
Let's assume for a second, horror upon horrors, that a nuke is detonated in Tel Aviv. Okay. I think they have enough, you know, information to be able to pin it on Iran instantly.
Mm-hmm.
Or within 24 hours. I think they'll probably be able to pin it down on Iran within 24 hours.
Yeah.
The question would be, what would be, you know, their response? I think it's possible that they will use a limited amount of their nukes. They won't empty their silos.
No. Well, and wouldn't be any point in it.
But I think they'd probably drop three, in a nice little triangle formation, about 5 miles out, from Tehran. That'll do some significant damage to that. I think they'll put up 80% of their air force, and the air force will drop big stuff, not nukes, but big stuff in very specific places. And catch Iran thinking that it's going to be all conventional.
Okay.
And then drop three on top of Tehran, I don't know, 3 or 4 days later. I think they should drop, like, 8 or 9 flights over 2 or 3 days over Tehran and a lot of other places. And then go in with the hard stuff. That's what I'd do. I'd get them thinking that it's just going to be a conventional, and get them a little bit relaxed about it.
It's interesting. I'm sitting here looking at a world map, and kind of looking at Tehran and Isfahan and Shiraz and places like that. But you know what? If they really wanted, if they really wanted to take the heart out of them, they would nuke Medina, they would nuke Mecca, and they would nuke Guam.
Well, I said that a couple years ago. I said, you know, you want to piss off a billion people,
mm-hmm.
a billion people that, for all practical purposes, I was having this fight today.
Okay.
Somebody said that they were going to report me to Saudi Arabia's military intelligence.
Oh, cool. All right. Hey.
I'm sitting there like going, Muslim military intelligence?
Yeah, right.
Come
on. Okay.
Their idea of military attack is to strap bombs on themselves.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, come on.
But I mean, you know, if you really want to piss off, you know, a billion Muslims who are, other than the fact that they could throw themselves,
mm-hmm.
you know, cannon fodder,
mm-hmm.
you know, who are, for all other purposes, you know, neutered.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. you know, I mean, they'll sit there with spittle coming out of their mouths and noses and screaming and yelling, you know. But what are they going to do?
They're going to
3 million person march towards Israel.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Israel just turned, Jordan, Lebanon, and Syria into glass parking lots.
Exactly.
You know, please send me 3 million of your youngest men marching in here.
Yep, exactly.
You know, 10 or 15 tacticals, they don't even have to use any of the big stuff.
I know.
Tacticals just,
yep.
you know, turn it into a bloodbath.
Yep.
Well, man, that would be Armageddon, huh?
Oh, boy. That
would be Armageddon. that would be 3 million Muslims trying to march on Israel, and they would just turn them into...
pink mist.
You know,
yep.
mist.
Exactly.
Oh.
I mean, you know, and those people hate Israel anyway. So what in the world does Israel have to lose on that one?
And I don't think they have anything to lose on it.
Yeah,
you know, of course, with Barack Obama sitting there, you know, everybody will scream bloody murder about Israel, and Obama may, I think we'd probably have a constitutional crisis at that point.
We would if he decided he wanted to do something to Israel over it, yeah. Yep.
I think that if he decided he wanted to do something to Israel, you know, to punish Israel, or if Israel, having done that, was facing something big,
mm-hmm.
then I would be concerned that he'd willing to stand down and let it happen. And I think that we've got enough commanders in the field that would risk their careers to prevent that from happening.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, to say nothing of what he would face here at home. I mean, I can't even imagine the kind of outcome. I mean, if you think that the Tea Party was big before there at the Capitol, you won't have seen nothing yet.
I
don't think he would survive it. I mean, not survive physically. I don't think his administration would survive it.
I'm concerned by one thing. I'm not necessarily in disagreement with you, but I'm concerned by one thing, and we talked about this with somebody else over the weekend. You know, they had watched 300. Did you see it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we were talking about, she and I were talking about the fact that our leadership is pretty neutered when it comes to that type of leadership at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
the point was made that there's a significant amount of Americans, forget the leadership,
mm-hmm.
that don't have that kind of constitution.
Well,
and
that's
true. I'd be a little bit concerned that we would probably have a significant number of people standing, facing off on each other, because I think people will be dumbstruck if they did that to Tel Aviv. But I'm absolutely convinced that regardless how controlled, limited, or otherwise Israel's response would be, that the left would go berserk over it. It wouldn't make any difference. I mean, if they dropped one on Tehran, it would be considered to be overkill. If they bombed conventionally, it would be overkill. Going after Mecca, Medina, and Qom would be, they would just, their heads explode.
Yep.
And then you and I, people like us, we're going to be in a position where we are going to be standing toe-to-toe with people that we've been standing toe-to-toe with for the last 2 years, you know, who think, you know, whose reaction to Iraq and Afghanistan has been beyond pacifist.
Oh, yeah.
So,
Yep.
I think at that point that they will believe that Israel should apologize for getting Tel Aviv nuked. And frankly, you and I and a whole lot of other people will just start slapping people.
Exactly.
And boy, that's polite.
Yeah, I know.
Because my hand won't be open.
No. No, not a bit. I'm sorry, that just doesn't make it, you know. And that, you know, it kind of ties back to, where, if any place, does any kind of violence make itself felt and make itself known in our political world here in America. And one of the stories that I ran across was this one about the gal that got her leg broken and her boyfriend got his jaw broken. And I don't know if anybody's got any news feeds on that, but so far as I know, the mainstream media isn't covering that. Now, at one point in time, they said that they were these two, the GOP operative, and that was for Governor Jindal's office, were wearing Sarah Palin pins, and that's why they were attacked. Turns out that no, they probably weren't, but that there were a group of anarchists that took to the streets in New Orleans on Friday to protest the SRLC. Well, okay, that's fine. I mean, you know, protests are protests. But then you get this Ali Botch and her boyfriend that were basically brutally beaten. And so you have to say, well, okay, where is violence? Where does it originate? And does that have a place in our political discourse here in the United States? I would tell you it doesn't have a place until you get attacked.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, you know, what do we hear in those situations? You know, we see we're supposed to be polite and nice and quiet. The left gets all out of control and destructive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if we attempt to meet kind with kind, well, then we're just stooping to their level.
Exactly.
Bullshit.
Exactly.
I'm so sick and tired of that crap.
I know.
No, I'm so sick and tired of that. You know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, you want to come after me with the bat? Fine.
Yep.
38 works really well.
Yes, it does.
Okay, I mean, you know, I am not bringing harsh language to a knife fight.
Nope. Not going to do it. Not going to do it.
Do it. You know, and if you want to say that I'm stooping to their level, hey, you know what? If a snake tries to bite me,
mm-hmm.
okay, I'm going to beat it with the nearest rock I have. You know, if you want to call that stooping to its level, you know, what I'm doing is I am replying to the source of my frustration with something it understands.
Yes, indeed. Absolutely. I mean, I do not buy into that meme about, oh, we're just going to go down to their level. I'm sorry. Not going to start anything. But by God, it isn't going to go on around me. Not once. Not ever.
You're not a big science fiction fan, are you?
Actually, I am a huge science fiction fan.
How do I miss that? Have you read Ender's Game?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
For those of you that listen and don't know Ender's Game, and frankly, I don't think any of you that listen to this show don't know Ender's Game. Okay, but just on the off chance that there's a few of you, you know, Pam, I know you're a science fiction person. You may have read it. But here's the deal. Ender is the main character's name. And Ender got picked for a military academy because of his basic response to threats. He was a little kid, smaller, weaker looking than other kids, and being prone to being picked on.
Yep.
When anybody picked on him, he beat them to death.
They met a bad end.
It wasn't a mat, you know, if somebody pushed him, if somebody knocked him down, he came back and beat them to death.
Yep.
There was no hesitation, there was no stopping, there was no holding back, no mercy. If you want to come after me, that's fine. My retaliation will be swift and complete.
Yep.
And my particular point of view was, you mean most people don't do that?
Yeah, really. Jesus. And apparently most people don't have that sense of self and sense of survival.
Yeah, you know, my father, who is, bless him, 5'5" and weighs about 135 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And so those of you that know me know that, you know, my dad is small in comparison. Very, very small in comparison. My father is a true Irishman, and for the most part, when he drinks, he's a very sociable person. He's less sociable when he's sober, but when he drinks, he is a much more sociable person.
Mm-hmm.
But my father can be mean. That's the Irish in us. I mean, you know.
Yep.
And my father would occasionally get into bar fights, and almost never did he end up in medical difficulty in bar fights.
Uh-huh.
He was usually dragged out of the bars quickly before the cops showed up. Because my father is a firm believer in the fact that when somebody is bigger than you, and this is what he taught us, when somebody is bigger than you and you've decided that you're going to hit them,
mm-hmm.
okay, there's two things you have to be absolutely certain of. Okay? One, that you hit them first, because if they're bigger than you, it might be over with one. So.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get
yep.
in first. And two, having decided that you're going to do it first, that he doesn't get back up.
Exactly. Exactly. Yep. There was a saying going around Twitter here a while back about that, and it said, you know, don't ever pick on an old man. They'll just kill you. And it's true. I mean, you know, I'm way too old to take a beating. I'm sorry.
Respond, get it over with.
That's exactly
right. We don't have the energy for long-lasting fights.
No, sure don't. And I'm not going to take a beating. So that only leaves one other alternative there, folks.
This has been my argument with women for... God, forever.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is, you know,
if you're a woman and you don't carry a gun, there's something the matter with your thinking.
No, I don't need to carry a gun. I don't need to carry a gun. I do carry things that, in close contact, work just as good. You know, because, you know, the reality is, you know, I'm a firm believer that no attack is backed away from.
Yep, exactly.
You know, and everybody expects an attack to result in a step back first. Nobody expects an attack to be responded by an aggressive step forward.
Yep, exactly. I mean, you know, particularly the first shot out of the bag.
You know, and I've always, you know, my conversations with women has always been very simple. You have absolutely nothing to lose.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And any attempt to play games or step back, because the evidence has already supported that they don't care about that, that, you know, whatever attacker is coming after you doesn't care about that. They're attacking.
Exactly.
Okay?
Exactly.
So if you want evidence whether they can be talked to or not, the fact that they have attacked is proof that they don't.
Exactly. That's right.
Otherwise, they'd be asking to buy a drink.
Yeah. That's right.
So, you know, they're not asking to buy a drink. You know,
yeah,
the talking part's over.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you have to go in and you have to strike with the intent of ending it with one strike.
Yep. And if you don't do that, you are just so foolish. Just so foolish.
And that was a lesson that I learned, despite my father's attempts the other way. That was a lesson that I had to learn the hard way.
Is that right? Yeah.
Learned the hard way.
Yeah. Happens that way sometimes.
But I was young, stupid, and unlike our president, capable of on-the-job training.
Okay, there you go.
you know, fool me once, shame on me.
Yeah.
Fool me twice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that doesn't happen. You know.
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
Somebody asked, you know, what about CJ? You know, CJ's a second-degree black belt.
Cool. That is so cool.
You know, my opinion is trier.
Yeah, I'm, you know, what the heck? Take your best shot.
I told CJ, someday I'm going to ask somebody to sneak up behind you and grab you. She goes, why would you do that? I said, I expect a certain response out of you. She goes, now I'm going to walk around thinking everybody's going to do that. I said, a little paranoia is a good thing.
That's right. Always a good thing.
So she wants to travel to France and England, and you know, and I say, that's fine. If you want to do lots of traveling, that's fine. Just remember who's behind you. And she goes, well, who's behind me? I said, that's for you to know then.
Yeah, exactly. Incidentally, why does she want to travel there? I mean, is she looking at the history, or she just likes pretty buildings, or what?
Yes.
Yes.
You know, I think it's part that she wants to see how other people live.
Hmm. Okay.
And my opinion is, you know, as soon as you've seen the United States in its entirety, then you should be free to do, you know, to go to other countries.
Okay.
It's how I've only seen 39 states. I still got a way to go.
Yes, you do.
you know, and she, I think she's up to like 28 or 29.
Is she? She has that many. Cool.
Easily that many.
Cool.
Easily that many.
All right.
As a matter of fact, the only part of the country that she doesn't have that I do have, is the Gulf Coast.
Ah, okay. Okay.
Otherwise, she's been to everywhere that I've been, except for the Gold Coast.
She'd like the Gold Coast.
Mississippi, Alabama, Florida.
she would like the Gold Coast, I think.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah, lots of picture taking opportunities there.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So you know that's kind of where I'm going to go with that. Anyways, we've been talking about that for a while. It's time to switch off and do something else. The bowing is, just disrespectful.
Yeah.
Okay, so we talked about Greece.
Yeah.
And the EU. We talked about taxes and being misreported.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about the fact that my car broke down today.
No, we did not. Again?
This time I'm done with it.
Uh-oh. Okay.
it blew the CV joints on the front right side.
Oh boy. Yep. Yep.
The car's only worth $700 or $800. It's not worth fixing.
No, it certainly isn't. I mean, it'll cost about that much to fix the CV joints.
So that's done. So I spent the whole day dealing with getting another vehicle, which I have. I've got something that'll work for a while. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to talk about this for a while because it fits in with the stuff that was being talked about earlier on, and I think you and I talked about it in the green room either last week or a couple weeks ago. I think it was last week.
Okay.
Did we talk about the green room? Honor and respect.
Yes, we did.
Two?
Yep.
We were talking about that last week in the green room. Here's the deal. I was taking CJ to school this morning. We didn't get 1,000 feet from the house before it went out.
Oh, boy.
And I tried to get us to keep going, and it just wasn't going to happen. So I got the car back to the house, and CJ went, yay, no school today.
Yeah, right.
that was it, because I knew right away it was going to be a problem trying to get that taken care of. So I made a phone call right away to somebody that I know. I mean, that's a wholesaler, so I figured he'd probably have something I could get my hands onto pretty quick.
Sure, right.
But he didn't call for like 2 hours.
Ooh.
And so I got onto Craigslist, and I found a vehicle that had been posted literally 15 minutes before I got there.
Wow.
it was a truck. The price was right. It was in good condition. And I called, and he said, great, let's meet there at 12:30. And I said, fine, I got to figure out how to get a ride, but we'll meet there at 12:30. And then he called back like 5 minutes later. He said, I got to do a couple things. Can I meet you at 1? And I said, that's fine. And then at 10 minutes to 1, he called and said, can I meet you at like 1:30?
Oh, boy.
And I'm like, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
And then we wandered around the area where he said he was going to meet us for like 20 minutes. And then he called up and he said, oh, I forgot all about, I didn't realize the time.
Yep.
I'll come over to your house. I'll call you back in about a half hour, and I'll get directions to come over there. Well, 2 hours later, still no sign of him, and the Craigslist listing disappears.
Uh-oh.
So he had taken down the Craigslist listing.
Okay.
Well, I know what happened. He priced it so aggressively that, he got a whole bunch of phone calls. He said, I got somebody that's interested in buying this. Somebody gave him a higher price, and he blew us off and, went with a higher price.
Yep.
I don't have a problem with somebody doing, getting a price bid up and taking the higher price.
No.
Don't bother me at all. That's perfectly fine. And I wouldn't have participated in a bidding war.
Exactly.
He was right at the edge of where I wanted to spend the money, so, it wasn't going to go any higher than that. But he could have given me a phone call. He could have said, I got somebody that's willing to give me more. Sorry, but I'm going to go ahead and go with that. And I would have said, cool, understand, no problem.
Yep.
But he would have let me off the hook instead of sitting there for another 3 hours, when I could have been trying to get something else.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
That pissed me off.
Yes, indeed.
So, it is this concept, of respect, of honor, self-respect, to start with, that, lends itself to the idea of honor, honoring yourself, honoring the people that you know, associate with.
Exactly.
You need to have respect for yourself and respect for them to do so. And yep. when you don't, it's clear. It's obvious that you don't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's a really good example of that.
Yeah. I have said, I think you and I got in this discussion 2 years ago when ACP was starting. I said, the problem with this country right now is that there is no respect.
That's true.
Nobody respects anybody. You know, institutions yeah. don't respect people. People don't respect the institutions. You know, they don't respect each other. The behavior of people against other people is just, you know, disrespect, disrespect, disrespect. And, of course, yep. stupid little people that go, you diss me, they ain't got a clue about what I'm talking about.
No, no.
Despite them using the same word.
Exactly, exactly.
It is... Fundamentally, who was it? Which one of our founding fathers said it? Was it? It wasn't Madison. Was it Adams? Who said that? That our form of government is only
Jefferson
good. You know,
for a moral people. Yep.
For a moral people. Who said
yep.
that?
I'm pretty sure it was Jefferson. Might have been Franklin, but could have been. I think it was Jefferson.
It's not. And this is what drives me crazy. It's not because our form of government requires a Christian people.
No.
It's because our form of government is not designed to enforce virtue upon the citizens. They must be virtuous all on their own.
Yes.
And, you know, you cannot legislate virtue. You can't make people respect other people. CJ is a respectful teenager. Part of that is her martial arts training. Where it is, you know, something that is taught and reinforced at all levels.
Yes.
You know, every single, you know, class, you know, before you even get to the point of teaching, you know, training, you know, the respect is from the moment you walk in the door, you know, take off your shoes, go to the, you know, to the mat, bow before you enter in.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
Show your respect.
I mean, there's a whole protocol associated with that, and it is all to show respect for the place and your opponent.
And it is one of my arguments that how do you teach that? You know, now people will say, well, you have to have, you know, Christianity to teach that. And I disagree.
That is one way to teach it.
Right. I think believe it or not, and some of you may not believe me when I say this, I think it's a very good way to do it.
Yeah.
You know, in America, one of the arguments I made, I said there's two purposes to religion. One, worship the deity. Yeah, okay, fine. Second is to teach the next generation moral and ethical behavior.
Yep.
And that function, I don't have a problem with in religion.
Nope.
You know, as long as it is an all-encompassing process. In other words,
yeah.
it doesn't teach that you should honor and respect only a certain set of people.
Exactly.
You honor and respect all because of that process. So, you know, your moral behavior is, you know, and that's my problem with Islam, is that it teaches, you know, Islam teaches you to be moral and ethical to other Muslims and to fuck with everybody else.
Exactly, exactly.
You know, Christianity is at least to the point where, you know, teaches you to be moral and ethical to everybody.
Right.
That's fine, and I think that's a great way of doing it. You know, there are other ways of doing it, and martial arts training is a way of doing that.
Yes, it is.
Especially if it's done starting young and it lasts for years, you know, that process gets built in.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I am aghast. Aghast. For those of you that are not on Twitter, I am aghast at how disrespectful a large segment of the population is. And I don't care about their disrespect to me.
Mm-hmm.
Frankly, it's irrelevant. I don't know them. They're
mm-hmm.
not a part of my life.
Exactly.
The old phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt
yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, in my case, you know, names will never hurt me, and sticks and stones just piss me off.
Exactly.
So, you know, I mean, it's that sense. I mean, but the level of self-disrespect
mm-hmm.
is stunning.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Stunning.
Yep.
I tell people, you know, if you want to get a tattoo, that's fine. Just remember it's there for the next 80 years, and your great-grandchildren are going to see it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And if they dig up your sorry-ass carcass a million years from now, the only thing
it's
that's going to
be
left
there.
Is that patch of skin with that tattoo.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so, you know, if you have some respect for yourself, I'm not saying that people that get tattoos don't have respect for those. Some of the people are very respectful of what they're doing there, but
oh, yeah.
many of them don't.
Yep.
The level of disrespect for themselves, you know, I just can't imagine, you know, taking the history of what they're putting online
mm-hmm.
and showing it to their potential spouses or showing
yep.
it to their children or showing
mm-hmm.
it to their grandchildren and go, hi, this is what I was doing when I was your age.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
I think people are going to look at you and go, oh, my God. You know, and I finally said it to somebody, you know, yesterday, and it really shut them up. I'll tell you right now, it didn't change anything because about
mm-hmm.
an hour or two later they came back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but what I said, you know, is watching your words on the screen is like watching a dog licking its ass after it shits. The dog doesn't care and wonders what the big deal is, but everyone else is gagging.
Yep, they certainly are.
You know, and that's my problem with
yep.
with them is they just go like, you know, what's the big deal? And I'm like, hey, they, you know, these are the people. Oh my God, these are the people that are calling tea baggers.
Yeah.
You know, racists.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know, hey. Okay, if I was Jewish, I'd be, hey, hey, good.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's altogether bad. It really is. And,
oh,
and
I know.
So much
know.
Of it out there.
I, you know, and you can kind of troll around and just be peeking in on various hashtags and that kind of stuff, and you see it repeated over and over and over. And I think that the people that do that don't have a clue as to what the concepts of honor and respect are. It
right.
certainly
don't
isn't apparent in their writing.
Yeah, not a clue.
Not a clue.
I don't care if they use the words. They have no clue.
Words are immaterial. It's the attitude. And the attitude says, I don't respect myself. I don't respect you. I just want what I want. And
right.
to hell with
the liberal,
everything else.
The liberal mantra, I want,
mm-hmm.
you hate.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. You know, and it's like, well, okay, you know, if that's the way you feel, but that ain't the way the world works.
CJ asked today, how
yeah?
come mom isn't signed up for Obamacare?
Really?
Now she's 15. But that doesn't explain all the thousands that are calling insurance agents and asking for it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Just to throw that out there, we got 30 seconds. Say goodbye.
Hey, just me, Pammy, Arkansas Traveler, Mama Gurka, Louisa Ma. Thanks for listening if you did, and we'll catch you next week.
Bill, have a week. I'm
going
to go... You know, go back into the sty and muck around a little bit more.
Hey, there you go.
Otherwise, I'm going to have a good weekend, I hope.
All righty. Cool.
We'll talk to you next week.
All righty. Night, everybody.
Green room.
All righty. You really got to get going, or was that just for the over the air?
Nope. Yeah, because things got so screwed up time-wise today, things have been really screwed up time-wise today.
Okay. That's cool.
Yeah,
I
didn't get anything done because I was sitting there by the phone waiting and waiting and waiting.
Waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. Yep. That's too bad. I'm sorry that happened to you, Trace. Jeez. Yeah.
You know, I was hoping that the car got us through winter, and when it got us through winter, I was hoping it got us to June.
Yeah.
It got us through winter.
And it didn't.
Yeah, well, it got us through winter.
It got you through winter. Yep. That's cool. Okay, kiddo. Then in that case, you all have a good one and try and get caught up there.
All right. We'll talk to you next week. Everyone have a good week.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.